Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I feel like the Lord said, strengthen your frame. Like, that's what he wanted to talk to the body of Christ about. This is a special season. As you know, it's Passover. And the reason Passover is so important is that it's about the blood of Jesus. That's where our power comes from. That's where our protection comes from. That's where our hope. The blood of Jesus purchased for us everything we will need. And during this season and the 40 days following Passover, it's a time to strengthen ourselves in the Lord and prepare for the great opening after that. And I don't mean the opening as in coming out of your homes. I mean, last night in prayer, I saw a vast opening in heaven. And it wasn't that a door was opening. It was like heaven itself just opened. And I know legally it's already been open since Act 2. Praise the Lord. It has opened us. But I sense that God is opening something for the body of Christ during this season to help us get ready for the season to come. Because in the season to come, I had a dream very recently that our workload would grow very great. And that means, I believe, ministry will grow very great. I believe there's going to be a lot of hunger and a lot of thirst, a lot of people who are in dire straits, a lot of people who are spiritually needing help. And so all of us, not just us, but all of us are going to want to be in tip-top shape, spiritually speaking, to be able to help people, to be able to have a word in due season. Some of you are going to start hearing God better than you ever have during this season. You're going to start sensing things in the Lord. And it is not just for us, but it's for those that you will minister to. You'll have people come to you and ask questions. What do I do? How do I do it? I recently got to pray with someone who I can't actually tell who it is, but this person, after talking to them for a while, I realized they love the Lord, but they are not born again. And at first they were asking questions about how do I hear from God. And after talking to them for a while, I realized they have not even been born again. And so we're going to have to kind of be tuned in to the Holy Spirit as we talk with people. Do you want to say anything before I jump into some of the stuff God gave me?
Well, when you were talking about, for those of you who just came on, Holly is talking about strengthening your frame spiritually. And as soon as she started talking on that, right away I got a picture of a car frame, and I saw some cars that were out in like the weeds that needed to have a little work done on them, and that's a parable and it's a picture. But I feel like Holly's going to share tonight, and I'll be sharing as well, some wonderful ways or techniques or ideas on how to build up your frame.
Okay, so I want to share a scripture with you. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Listen to this. Exercise yourself toward godliness. Exercise. For bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of life, which now is, and of that which is to come. And so I looked at the literal translation. I looked at other translations, and some of them say bodily exercise is profitable for little. Like, it's not as profitable as godliness. So Paul is saying, exercise yourself towards godliness. And one of the things God has shown me over the years is that every Christian has seasons where, you know, during seasons where it's extremely busy or extremely pressured, or maybe you know, during seasons when I would be on a work project that just seemed like, many, many hours, it would be harder during those seasons to stay strong in the Lord. And so I had to learn some ways to strengthen my frame in different ways, you know, because not everybody is at home. Most of us are at home now, but not always. And so God taught me some things to do to stay in shape, spiritually speaking. And I used to have this little fantasy, wouldn't it be cool to have a spiritual gym? You know, a lot of people go to a physical gym and they have their routine. Maybe they do certain machines or run on the treadmill. They have different things they do. But you know how it is. You might pay for your gym membership, but if you don't go consistently, maybe you don't have time, you got enough project, you can't go for a couple of weeks. It's like you got to start over, right? So spiritually speaking, one of the things that God has taught me is it's better to do a little bit every day than try to say, You know, it's like he always tells me, it's like the tortoise and the hare. It's like the tortoise and the hare, which means some people do a big spurt and then they do nothing for a while. And then they do a big spurt and then they do nothing for a while. But that's not as profitable as just do a little every day. And if you say, oh, I don't have an hour to pray, I don't have an hour. Well, you know what? Start small. Because at first, especially if you're learning how to pray in the Spirit a lot, at first, you know, 5 minutes might seem like an hour to you. But after you get used to it, an hour seems like 5 minutes and it becomes fun and you begin to, what you're doing is you're sensitizing yourself to the spirit realm when you pray in the spirit. And so I used to imagine, what if you had a spiritual gym? Wouldn't it be fun to be able to bring people in and put them through different rooms? In one room, there would just be Thanksgiving. In the next room, there would just be worship. In the next room, you might stick them in a chair, and a real comfy chair, and put headphones on and just pump the word right into their brain, you know? And you just, and a coach, what does a coach do? They're like, yeah, come on, you can do a little more. What does a trainer do? Come on, you can do a little bit more. Well, wouldn't it be fun to have a gym like that? But what I feel like God is saying, we were listening recently to a great prophet who said that Passover, this Passover will be a true one, and that we need to understand the blood. But he said after Passover, there's 40 days. And I believe God spoke to me when he said that and said, this 40 days is a time, it's a season for us to beef up in our spiritual fitness. And so one of the things that I want to say is Jude 1:20, it says, you dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit and keeping yourself in God's love. So start small. You know, there was a brother who used to tell a story. He was actually a man of God. He's a minister. And he used to talk about how his grandma was spirit-filled and she was a seer. She saw in the spirit. He used to say, if he came home from school and he had some junk on him, she had stop right there. Don't come in that door. You got something on you. And she'd, you know, keep him clean spiritually. But she would, when he got home from school, she would sit him at the dining room table and she'd set the kitchen timer for 15 minutes and he would pray in tongues. And you say, well, that sounds like work. Well, it is. It is. I think some charismatics and some Pentecostals think that the Holy Spirit, it's always going to be goosebumps and wind. And no, and most of the time, honestly, it's labor. You labor to enter that rest. It's a work that you do. But what happens is when you become strong, it's easy. And I've had people, you know, I want to word this right. Everyone in the New Testament is to be prophetic. But to be prophetic, we have to learn about his world, God's realm, God's world. And so we have to spend time there. So there's some things we need to do to grow used to that. So I've lived in my house for 20 years, and my house, my backyard, backs up to a forest preserve. And usually there's actually crops that they plant out in this forest preserve, and the edge can sometimes be muddy, and sometimes there's corn. You know, when you get into July, there's corn. You can't really walk out there. And in these past few weeks, I started walking back in the fields there because they're not planted yet, so you can actually walk. It's been a little muddy, but I walked across. We have this little bridge that crosses a creek, and I started walking in that place, and I walked into areas that I'd never been before. Now think about it, I've lived here 20 years. This is a parable, for those of you who don't get it. For 20 years I've lived here, and I've maybe just walked across the bridge and walked along the creek a little bit, but I never explored that whole, and it's miles. It's several miles. And so I've been going for walks out in that forest preserve and saying, you know, this is like owning a farm. It's right out my back door. It's not mine, but hey, it's here. And after 20 years, it's like now when I look out my back door, I have a completely different understanding of that realm, we'll say it that way. And I feel like the word of the Lord is that a lot of people, you've been living for years, you love God, you always have, but God is trying to take you into new areas of his world. And you know what? Once you go one time, once you spend time with him in a certain way, you never look at things the same again, and you become more and more able to speak by the Spirit of the Lord. Are you ready?
Yeah. So When Holly was talking about labor to enter the rest, I was reminded of two things. One, once you find his rest, it'll change you. And every thing in the natural and some spiritual forces will try to keep you from entering into his rest. And I remember two times in my life when I was trying to learn this. One of the times was I was coming to the prayer meetings that the ministry would have, and we were praying in tongues, praying in the spirit, you know, building up our faith and exercising our spiritual muscles. And one of the things that happened was we prayed, and then there was this like, and we came into this place where not a word was spoken. And it was one of the first times I ever experienced entering his rest. And it was wonderful. Now, I'm saying that because it was like a setup. You know how Holly was saying she wished there was a spiritual gym? Well, there is. Every house has one. You just have to show up. And, you know, for those of you who are watching, you know, I encourage you to get a prayer partner and set some boundaries, set some times to pray in the spirit. You know, start off small, baby steps. But, you know, we often say, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Pray in tongues. It's practice. And so that's one thing I want to suggest. And the other thing is, you know, we pretty much have our distractions down to a minimal. You know, if you're still distracted, it's probably because you haven't mastered asking the Lord to help you establish your day. And what I mean by that is, you know, I know some of you are working from home, we're working from home, but it's important to sit with the Lord, put him first, and get his perspective on the day. And I remember one time, and I've got a point. I remember, you know, serving in the ministry, running partnership. You know, there's always a partner in need. There's always a partner who needs something. And I'm like the person who will go out of my way to help people. But what happened was I no longer had right order or a perspective of how things are supposed to be. And what happened was I started getting really crabby. And so one of the things for me, if I'm crabby, there's two things that are happening. One, I'm not spending enough time with the Lord. And two, there's unrealistic expectations that I either have on myself or other people are placing on me. And when I asked the Lord about it, and those of you who know me, I talk about this all the time. It's one of my favorite sets. Holly was teaching on building a fortress. What is that? Building a fortress that will last? That set changed my life. Holly was preaching about boundaries on one of those sessions, and I got a mini sermon in the morning because I was all frustrated. And I went to the Lord and I said, "What is? You know, Holly explained some things, and I said, Lord, what do you say about this? And he said, wrong order. And he showed me a picture of my head bobbing in, like bobbing for apples, instead of me living in the water. I was just going in and getting a drink. And somehow through distractions and through, you know, the great urgent thing that had to get done, I flipped and I was no longer resting in the presence. And what happened was I made a decision that day. I repented and I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I don't know how I got so messed up, but I'm going to ask you to help me with this. And he taught me how to establish boundaries. And actually, Holly taught it in that set. I think it's disc number 5, which is awesome. You can get that on the website, by the way, Spirit of God Worldwide. Go to the store link and click MP3 sets. And so anyway, disc 5 changed my life because every day then I would walk with the Lord and we kind of like walked our fence line, so to speak. And I'd say, how'd I do? You know, did I keep you first in every area? And you know what? It took a while to build the fence back up, but I had to let people know things are not the way they're, you used to be able to do this and now you no longer can do this. Now you have to come through the front door instead of the side yard or the window. And you know, that's a parable, but I'm saying it because there's people out there. This is the perfect season in God to establish your boundaries in him, but you can't do it without him. You have to ask the Holy Spirit for help and to teach you. Those are keys. And so one of the things that happened after a week, I would walk the fence line with Jesus every day and I'd say, how'd we do? I did it twice a day in the morning and at night. And he'd say, well, you had some, you know, couple issues here, and I'd be, oh, you're right. And he helped me strengthen my frame in this regards. And so after about a week of that, I was sitting in the chair and I was just worshiping Jesus. And I came into a place that I've never been before. And it was a deep rest, a deep place of peace and rest. And I didn't know that I never had it because I never had it. So, you know, I would hear people talk about it, and you know, I was a workaholic, so I always felt like this pressure to drive and to get the project done. But I actually think that was a spirit, because that thing lifted off my back. And, you know, every once in a while when it seems like stuff starts piling up, I might have like a little bit of a stumble in my step or my footwork, but there's a gauge in my heart now, because I love his peace. I can tell when there's something wrong. If I don't have peace, something's wrong, and it's never Jesus. It's always, what am I looking at? What's so important, or what do I think I have to get done that is stealing my peace? And so I'm just going to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you about boundaries and help you establish healthy boundaries. And I know we're stuck in close quarters, but I also know that we have a bathroom, we've got a bedroom, we've got a basement, a kitchen, wherever, a car, you can go and spend and sow time first into him and watch what happens. You know, oftentimes with people that are performance mode, I know I'm talking to somebody out here, when you're performance mode and task oriented, you'll always want to finish this first and then spend time with God. Because if only I could get this project done, then I'll spend the rest of the evening with the Lord. But you know what? The next project comes up, or else you're like, oh, I got that done, and it didn't take
another project.
Yeah. It's always never any list. So yeah. With that, go ahead, Allie.
Well, while Lori was talking, the Lord reminded me of something that happened to me once. I was up in Nova Scotia, and I was in the city of Halifax, and I was alone. And I started to feel really kind of strange, like cloudy. And I began to feel kind of faint. And I was just walking through the town. I was seeing the sights. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Holly, you're dehydrated. Find a restaurant and go in and eat something. And I wasn't hungry. You know, when you're dehydrated, you're often not thirsty and not hungry. Some people that I'm talking to have been a little bit spiritually dehydrated, but you don't know it. And what happened was I started to actually brown out. I almost think I would have fainted. And God kept speaking to me really loud on the inside, Holly, you're dehydrated. Find a restaurant. Well, I was in such a stupor, I would walk up to the restaurant and I would read the menu on the outside and go, I'm just not hungry. I don't really feel like it. And he would just practically almost yell, you know, Holly, get in there. So I finally just found a place, went in, I ordered a salad and some water. And just even from the first couple of bites, I started to feel just like a plant that gets water on it and it begins to come back up. Like I could feel just like coming back. And that's just a parable of what happens in the spirit. You know, we can go without food for a while, but we can't go very long without water. Well, we can't go without God, and we can't go without his word very long. We really don't do well. We dehydrate spiritually. And I hate to tell you this, but a lot of the body of Christ is very emaciated right now. And then what happens is they get in a weak position, and then the enemy comes. And see, the enemy's pretty shrewd. He's been around a while. So what he tries to do is get you separated from strength and fellowship and partnership and certain, you know, good messages. For he tries to get you alone. He tries to get you and then attack you. You know, when you're young, he can just attack you and you haven't figured it out yet. But once you get older, I've actually seen him do a setup where he'll set somebody up. He'll spend weeks, even months, setting somebody up and then nail them when they're weak. And so when God spoke to me today and said to tell people how to strengthen your frame, I have a sense that God is doing a thing in the earth, that I really feel like God has spoken to me, that there are some things that he told me decades ago he is going to do. And I feel like that we are right on the precipice, the very edge of that cliff of, and by that I mean, if you could imagine an eagle on the precipice of a great cliff overlooking a vast canyon, and the eagle's just leaning forward to take off, I'm sensing the eagle is not yet taken off,
But I am telling you, I feel like we're very close to the time. And I was praying with a brother the other day, and the picture the Lord gave me was, if you've ever seen someone do hang gliding, I had the opportunity when I was very young in Hawaii. I was in Hawaii, and I was on the, they took us, of course, we were beginners, so they don't just let you kill yourself on the hang glider, but they have a line tied to the nose up, and they take you to a very gusty place on the very edge. And when you're ready to take off, you just lift the edge, you just lift the tip of that thing, and the wind comes up under, and whoosh, you're up. Well, this is what I'm seeing in the spirit, is that we're getting geared up. We're getting our harness on. We're getting the snaps on. We're getting the line on the hang glider, and we're getting prepared like we're on the precipice of a very great season that I believe God has been preparing for many years. And he spoke to me, he's been speaking to me really for some months about this, that, and in fact, let me back up a little. 3 and a half years ago, when Edgar passed away, God began to talk to me about some things we are going to do, he said. And to be honest, you know, it was literally the day Edgar passed away. And let me just say, I didn't really want to talk about this right now. I really just wanted to, you know, Edgar just passed away at 4:30 that morning. And so I really wasn't, you know, I always loved to hear from the Lord, but I wasn't ready to hear that right away. And he said, there's some things we're going to do. And he said, Holly, you know, years ago, I told you, if you do these things, I will do this. And he said, you did. So guess what? I've obligated myself, so we're doing it. And he kind of said, whether you like it or not, so you might as well like it. Now that sounds rough, but it was like, oh, okay. Because to be honest, you know, after you work for the Lord for many, many years, sometimes when you hear about the big hurrah, you're like, oh, more work. And I am excited about what the Lord is doing. But when he said it in those words, I repented. I said, Lord, I apologize. I think I was emotionally tired. And someone I'm talking to, you've been emotionally tired. You love the Lord with all your heart, but you've been emotionally tired. And emotional tiredness can make you, it can be crippling, because it can make you just weary in the road, and you're still faithful, you still plod along, you're doing the best you know, but you're tired emotionally. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm speaking by the Spirit, I release you from any spirit of tiredness, weariness from the journey. I break off every trauma that has come against your heart. Some of you have been through trauma, you've been through trials, you've taken hits, and you've done the right thing. You kept going, you kept doing the best you knew, you kept walking in faith and speaking the word, but inside there was a hit, you know, on your heart or on your soul. And right now, I see God lifting that off, peeling away layers. I'm seeing right now layers being peeled away from someone's heart. We have to be circumcise our hearts anew. Mm-hmm. And so that means all the wounding, all the difficulty, all the trials. Someone, you went through a divorce some years ago, and you've done well. You've tried to keep going the best you could, but there was some weariness. And I sensed a little hopelessness of, is it ever going to be good again? Will I ever do the thing I'm called to do, or what I thought the Lord told me? And the Lord is saying, yes, you will, but I need to remove that weariness from your soul. I see him breathing life into the body, breathing life. That wind of God is coming, and he wants us to have strengthened frames so that we're able to just catch the updraft and whoo. Because like I keep saying in these meetings, I feel like God is saying, it will be all of us. Yeah. All of us will be used of God. All of us will be winning souls. All of us will be discipling people the best we know. And if we don't know how, we'll be saying, here's a CD. Here, look at this video. And we'll be helping people the best we know. And so I feel like it's important now to strengthen your frame for what is to come. But what is to come will be very glorious.
I'm actually hearing hard pruning. You know, I don't know if you're supposed to do that in the spring or the fall, but this is a season where there's some hard pruning going on, and it's necessary. You know, some of us have gotten a little flabby, and
hallelujah. Like your phraseology.
Yes, yes, we've been in the house for way too long.
Hallelujah.
Anyway. Hard pruning, and I feel like the Lord is letting you see, it's an opportunity to see some things that need to be cut away. And what I mean by that is, you know, this is like the best time to be alive, because it's like God is so instant. That's the way to say it, is everything is, you know, if you're yes, Lord, he's like, okay, vessel. You know, there's such a quickening in the spirit where if you can practice mastering the distractions just for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, you're going to see a breakthrough and some direction, because God wants you to get it and he's waiting for you to ask him. And so I'm seeing some hard pruning, and it's necessary, because there's been a lot of overgrowth. There's been a lot of stuff that, you know, the hiddenness of God has kind of, you know, been trampled by the weeds and stuff. And I see, you know, if you open yourself up to the Jesus, the master gardener, he is going to prune and perfect which he has put in you.
Now, God's reminding me, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You were talking about how you actually pray over your days. One of the things that I've seen is that, you know, some people are gifted with discipline. They're just very disciplined people. I regret to inform you, I am not one of those people. I mean, it's not my natural gifting. I have friends that get up at 4:30 faithfully and they go exercise, and I think, wow, you're crazy. You know, I don't naturally have that sort of a discipline. So for me, it is a constant choice and something that I pray into. I pray into my days. There's a scripture that says God will teach us to number our days. Yes. And what that means, to organize our days. How do we do it? See, sometimes I think some of you actually struggle with guilt and condemnation because you feel like, oh, the whole day went by. I kind of wasted the day. Where did the time go? I didn't do what I wanted. And so a couple of months ago, God and I were talking about how could I improve, because I don't want to just say it's about praying or about worship or about thanks. A lot of it has to do with going into deeper places in the Word. You know, the rabbis, there are rabbis that teach that when you interact with the Torah, you are interacting with God himself, which makes sense because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So I was asking the Lord, how do I interact with your word? How do I sit at the feet of the word? How can I do that? And what he told me to do was at certain times. So there's some things that I do actually before I even get out of bed in the morning. There's certain things I do. There's certain things I say. And I have found that that really helps me. One of the things I say, one of the first things I say in the morning is I say, oh Lord, you, and I, this is a paraphrase because I probably say it a little different every day, but I say, you know, oh God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, you are the Lord, you are the one true God, the one and only, and your son, Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah. He is the name above every name. You are the only God and there is no other, and I will have no other God before you. And I love saying that because it like establishes my day. It establishes who he is and it establishes who I am. You know, it reminds me, this is who I am. I am a person who serves God. I'm here for him. I'm not here for me. I'm not here for me. I'm here for him. And I need to learn how to do that. Oh, God, teach me how to do that. I was reading Daniel. And, you know, Daniel saw some really scary visions. It's so scary. He said it was really hard for him to even see it. It was hard for me to read it. I actually was weeping while I read some of these visions. They're tough. But Daniel went before the Lord and he began to cry out for mercy. And he said, we have sinned. I have sinned. We have sinned. And he said, and I'm not coming to you asking for mercy, your mercy based on anything we've done right, because we haven't, basically, this is paraphrase, we haven't done anything right. He said, but I'm coming to you based on your compassion. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's the heart. That's the heart. That's like the guy who beat his chest and said, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. But we need to be praying that for the body of Christ, for the nation, and for the people of the world. Honest to goodness, God's mercy, we need to come and not act like I have it together and those guys, they sinned, forgive them. No, we have sinned, Lord. I have sinned. Yeah. I don't measure up. None of us really are able. God's standard of perfection is so great. And thank God he gave us his righteousness through Jesus. But still, I think it's good to repent, especially during this time, in behalf of the church. The church, you know, the church has, in some ways, sometimes God will show me the church like a bride. And I had a
encounter. I don't want to call it a vision because it was actually like I was there. It felt as though I was there. And God took me into this room, and there was a woman laying there, and she was very, very ill. And I realized it was the bride, and that she was ill, and God wanted her healed. You know, the bride is not in very good shape. And God, you know, God is looking for her to be raised up in wholeness, to be able to do what she is supposed to do. And I know you've heard this phrase, but before Jesus comes for his church, he wants to come through his church. But right now, he has been limited by, we have limited the Holy One of Israel, just like it says the Israelites did. They limited him. It's amazing, but God can be limited by our choices, our words, our behavior, our plans. We can put our plan before God and actually limit and stop him from doing what he really wants to do. And during this season, God wants to raise up the body in grace and power, power and grace. And he wants to show himself strong through her. So this is a season for us to strengthen our frame so that we can help each other. And we not, you know, there's a scripture that says that no one should think more highly of himself than he ought to. And I feel like we need to come to the church knowing that, you know, I come to people thinking, who am I to tell you anything? I know my past. I know what I was in the dark season. It was not a pretty sight. Yeah. I was a mess going somewhere to happen. And it is only by the grace and glory of God that I'm even still here. And I know that. And I have such a revelation of that, that I would never think that I am something, you know.
Amen.
And yet I know who I am in Christ. It's like a paradox. I know who I am in Christ. I know who he is in me, but I also know where I came from. And I think when we begin to minister to people, that is the heart that we need to have, that we need to know. You know, some people are kind of, I want to be kind when I say this, but there's people who are kind of spiritual know-it-alls. And let me tell you something, next to God, we don't know anything. There's so little that we know next to God. And sometimes somebody comes in and they're a hot shot, and because of it, they don't hear his voice. Because they already know. When you know too much, you think you know. What does the Bible say? If any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. The first revelation we need to get is that when we come before the Lord, we don't know anything, and we need his opinion.
Amen.
And he doesn't need ours. And so when I want to hear from God, the first thing I do it, I don't even speak it anymore. It's just an automatic habit. I have no opinion. I know nothing, and I know I got that revelation. And even if God has taught me for years on one thing, I still come before him knowing there's much more I need to know. There's much more he could teach me. And when you have that heart, God will speak to you for hours on end. Because if you come in and you're like, I know. He's like, well, okay, you know. All right. Hallelujah. Have at it. You know, I mean, to be honest, you know, he doesn't use those words, but God will not force knowledge on somebody. And I don't know why we're here, but we're here by the Spirit.
So you were talking before you shared this, which I know is for many people, you were talking about some things that you do in the morning before you even get out of bed. Can you share any more of them?
Yeah, so I actually hang out with God.
So what does that mean?
Okay.
If you can share.
So the first thing I do is I just start telling him how much I love him, how precious he is to me, how thankful I am for who he is. And I'm so, 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 so grateful to him for, you know, for saving me, for saving my life. I should be dead, really. And for teaching me and for giving me a real relationship that all of us have been given a right and a privilege to have a real relationship with our Heavenly Father. That means there's, you know, what if it were like certain organizations where only the special ones can go or only certain people? No. Everybody. Isn't that amazing? I'm so thankful. So I begin to thank him for the fact that I can come in. If I wake up at 2:37 in the morning, I can come in to the Holy of Holies. What does that mean? I can talk to my Father. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. You know, what king do you know that would allow any of his subjects, any of them, the lowest, the lowliest, the homeless, anybody, doesn't matter. He would allow them to come in the middle of the night and wake him up and say, hey, King, I got a problem. Let's talk about it. Who do we know like that? There's only one. There's only one, and that's our Lord Jesus. And he neither slumbers nor sleeps. So I'm thankful. So I talk to him. I tell him how great he is. We're kind of mushy, you know. I like to say too much, but we're kind of snuggly and mushy. And so I lay in bed, And then I oftentimes I'll play the scriptures. I'll take my phone off of airplane mode, and I'll put it on the scriptures, and I'll just listen to the scriptures. Sometimes I'll recite the scriptures. Sometimes I'm trying to be led by the Spirit. Sometimes I'll have a certain scripture that I've been thinking about, and I'll just lay there and think about it. And what happens as you meditate, you're often opening yourself to the realm of the Spirit. Because when God ministers to you, He's not talking to your intellect. He's talking to your spirit, man. The mind of Christ is not contained in your brain. It's contained in your spirit, man. And so when you enter that state of rest, and what better place than in bed, right? And I don't, once I go to bed at night, I'm not real good at this because I fall asleep like that. I'm like, the minute I lay down, bonk, you know. So it's better. Hey. So morning is a little better for me, but everybody's different. Everyone's different. There are morning people, there are midnight people, and that's okay. It is okay. But what you want to do is find your space with God and ask Him to help you number your days. So as I meditate, what happens is I'll enter a state of rest as I just think about a scripture, as I just quietly tell Him how wonderful He is. And then here's the thing some people don't know. When the Lord speaks to you with that still small voice, and I know there are people who have heard audibly, I think that's probably not the most common way, but the Holy Spirit lives in you. So when He speaks, it's so soft. It's a still small voice, and it's coming from your spirit, man, from inside. And so quite often, it may be so soft that you may be ignoring it, thinking, oh, that's just me. Oh, that's just, I think that was just me. Or maybe that was the enemy trying to trick me. But really what's going on is the Holy Spirit's trying to establish a connection, establish a relationship. And the more you attend to it. So I'm having a little picture in my head I want to share. Imagine a person of great standing in, let's say, old Europe, where they had ladies in waiting. And imagine that she had many, many servants. And imagine that there was one servant who was always more attentive, and not for evil motive, not for gain, not for manipulation, but who truly watched over more than the others did. What's going to happen? Their relationship is going to grow stronger. And that queen or that king, they're going to develop more of a favor for that person, because they realize that person has the heart. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if you know 20 people, I have one friend that honestly, we were on a trip. I wasn't looking. I was just there enjoying my time alone. And this girl like literally was following me. And she kept befriending me. And I was kind of like, you know, not encouraging it. But over the years, we became very, very, very good friends. And the reason was she continually showed an interest. She continually cultivated the relationship. And what I'm trying to say is God has not put limits on anyone. Anyone can be His favorite.
I'm his favorite. No, I don't.
No, it's me. No, but anyone can grow closer and closer to the Father. And how do you grow closer? By attending to Him. Attend His words. You know, if He only spoke to you once last year, attend those words. Water those words. If He said one thing to you, pay attention to it. Don't just write it in your journal and forget it. Attend to it. Pay attention. Go back and talk to the Lord about it. Ask Him questions about it. What happens is the more you value what He's done, the more you get.
That's good.
The more you value what He said, the more He'll say. See, I hear a lot because I know I got a revelation at 26 years old. And He's right and I'm not. That's my big doctrine. I found out that I needed His opinion. And so, and that, you know, I could make a mistake. And so I made it a custom to reverence when He would say something. Reverence it, honor it. If He said something to me, that's it. If He said to me, like if God tells me, God told me something recently, He said, you know, things were looking kind of bad, right? And God said, I will always take care of you. He said, it won't always look like I'm going to. So you know what He was doing? He was saying, remember these words. If things look scary, if things look bad, if it looks like, oh, it's all over, remember these words. And you know what? I revere his word. I honor what he says. When he says something to me, that's it. When Edgar had a heart attack, he looked horrible. It looked bad. He was white and pasty. And God said to me, he's okay. And I knew Edgar was fine. Edgar didn't know it. He went to the hospital and had him check him out, and all the reports were bad. And God would just say, he's okay. He's okay. See, but we have a relationship because I have valued his word to me. I value it. I revere it. If God says something to me, now it doesn't mean I don't test it. Paul said, test everything. Hold fast to that which is true. And when you're first learning to hear the voice of God, you have to test it. And that's okay. God understands your learning. He needs to train you. You need to have him train you to hear his voice. And that takes a little while. That's okay. It took me 2 years. But it became the most valuable thing in my life. And I'm so thankful to God that he's given that to all of us. It's a free gift to every member of the covenant. Amen.
Amen.
What else yet?
So back to your morning. Your morning time with the Lord.
You need to be a nosy.
I'm not being nosy. I already know pretty much. But I feel like there's people who are like, and actually I'm going to go back and say, this is the question. So when you're listening to the words, do you have like earbuds on, or are you just listening? How's that work for you?
Sometimes. Like sometimes I don't, you know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
So like, say you're listening to the word.
Okay.
And do you just like flip to the word, or do you have
I do all kinds of things. For me, there's never a formula because I'm not real good at keeping formulas. So what I do, everything by relationship. So this doesn't just go for my morning thing. This goes for if I was going to do a Bible study. I found it wasn't real great for me to say, what do you want me to read today? You know, it was too haphazard and I wasn't real good at that. So what I did was I would say, God, is there something you would have me dig into for a while? And he might give me something that might go on for a month or two. And that's really helpful to me, because so then I don't have to spend an hour trying to figure out what I'm doing today. I know, oh, I'm doing this. I'm reading Samuel. I'm reading Daniel. When I listen to the word when I'm in my morning thing, when I'm still laying in bed, sometimes I'll go to scriptures. I'll listen, because I'm, you know, to be honest, there's times when I'll listen for a couple hours. So, you know, in a couple hours, you can go through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you know, you can go pretty far. But the other thing is that sometimes I've found some recordings that are actually out there that maybe are just healing scriptures, just encouragement scriptures, just scriptures that wash you with a certain focus. So there might be some times that I do that.
That's really good. So like a YouTube or something like that?
Yeah, there's some great stuff out there with just, you know, I don't really even look at the video, but there's some great ones out there with beautiful nature scenes that are just like this, the word of God concerning healing, or the word of God concerning faith. And so depending on what God is talking to me about, I might put one of those on. But the big thing is to get the word in me.
So then you were talking about you do everything out of relationship. So when like you're in a subject that you're studying with the Lord that he wants you to study, after you're reading scriptures, or maybe while you're reading scriptures, a question will pop up. And then do you ask the questions?
I do. Well, for me, it didn't start this way, but once I learned how to do relationship, it became a two-way conversation like you'd have with a friend. So there's an open continuum, meaning whether I'm studying, whether I'm out for a long walk, whether I'm in the store trying to figure out which one to buy. You know?
Wait a second. Stop there. That's really good, because I think people need to know that.
Well, so, okay, women will probably appreciate this more than men, because men don't care. They just want a blue shirt. They buy a blue shirt. They don't care, usually. But women will often buy something. At least this used to be the case, you know. I don't know if this will continue to be the case. We'd go to a store, and we'd buy something, and we'd try it on. We'd say, I think this is the right one. You get it home, and it's not right. It doesn't match right, or it doesn't look right, or it's the stupid wrong color. And then we have to, oh, I really don't feel like returning it. Well, when I was learning to hear the voice of the Lord, what really helped me was I'd be in a store and I would so much as touch a shirt and he'd say, pass it on by. Okay. It saved me time
Because I would just say, he knows, he already knows that's not the right shirt. And I know that he knows, and I know that I don't. So I'm not even going to bother. You can see, you know what some people will do? They'll argue with him. Oh, but God, I really like this one. You know what? You won't when you get it home. If he says it's not the one, it's not the one.
That's good. That's good.
So another thing that helps me, we were just talking to a friend today. When you're making a decision, let's say that you're deciding to take a job or not, or deciding to buy a home or not, whatever that decision is, one of the ways the Holy Spirit will speak is by a peace on the matter or an unsettled feeling. It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And that means like an umpire, letting you know yes or no. So if you don't hear God well yet, pay attention to your gut. So what this might feel like is, let's say you're thinking about taking the job, and for no reason you just feel, ooh, you just feel unsettled. And then you think about not taking the job, and maybe it makes no sense to your head. Your head is going, but I need that job. And your head's trying to figure it out and talk your guts into it, right? Trying to talk your soul into it. But on the inside, you have peace when you think about not taking it. That is the Holy Spirit. Trust him. And what I discovered is you can trust him with your life. He is always doing what is in your best interest. God will always do what is best for you, even if it isn't fun. Now, there's times when he'll tell you to do something and you think, wow, you know, this wasn't easy. And there have been times when God has asked me to do something that, whoo, you know, really, really was costly. But without exception, 100% of the time, later on you look back and you see why that was so brilliant, why it was so the plan of God, why it was so much better than what I would have done had I made the choice with my intellect or my decisions. Without exception, the Lord is always right. The Bible says all his judgments are correct. He's never wrong. He never makes a mistake. And he's always looking what's in it for you and what's in it for the kingdom. He's always what? You're his child. He loves you. And sometimes what our flesh wants is not what's the best. Sometimes what our whiny baby flesh wants to do, I saw that, is not what's good for us. And God knows what's really good for us, you know? And there's times when you'll just feel the unction of the Lord to do, you know, to do a certain thing. Just go with it and trust that he's smarter than you. The problem a lot of people have is they don't really think God is smarter than them. And they'll still try to argue with God. No, I want that shirt. That's going to be the right shirt for me. Because, and they'll tell God all their reasons. And try to talk him into it. And you know what God will do? He'll be quiet. He'll let you get the wrong thing. And then later on you're like, you know what? You were right. I shouldn't have done that. Classic example, when the children of Israel, they kept complaining. They wanted meat. We want meat, 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 meat. He said, okay, you want meat? I'll give you meat. Didn't he? How about some quail, right? It was not a fun experience. See, we have to stop arguing with God and know that he is God and we are not. We have to, and to do that, we have to come to a place of knowing he really is smarter. He really is, you know, you think about the brilliance of his mind. Think about the stuff he knows. When I was a programmer, he knew all about programming. I couldn't come up with a problem he couldn't solve. If I couldn't solve it, he could. You know, he knew how to split the atom long before they figured that out. You know, he knows everything about everything. And what's amazing to me is at no time does he hide that from his children. He said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. He said, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things, all things. He said parables he would speak to those who are outside. But to his friends, he would explain everything. So it behooves us to develop a relationship, a friendship, where we can hang out with him, just like a little kid hangs out with their dad. You know, it's a relationship. You hang out with your dad and say, hey, what about this? What do you think about that? How's come this? How come that? Why didn't that work? I thought that was going to work. You know, just like a child, God loves that. And he loves, you know, when I was a little girl, you know, my dad would take me out in the garage when he was building something and he'd, you know, let me pound a nail or he'd show me how something worked, you know, because I just had the kind of mind I wanted to know. And I'm glad he wasn't one of those dads that was like, oh, you're just a girl, you know, you're 5 years old, go away. No, he would always spend a little time and show me, you know, and teach me. And I'm so thankful for that. But that's how our Father in Heaven is. He loves
discipling. He loves apprenticing. He'll teach you how to do heavenly stuff. There's people that are skilled experts in how to do heavenly things, and they learned it from their dad in heaven. And he wants all of his kids, all of us. He wants you to be the one that is so close to him all the time that you have his favor, that you know how to do stuff that other people don't know how to do. He wants you to be that one. He loves that. He loves that about you.
Okay, what else? How are you doing on your notes?
Well, I was going to share, I started to share this and I got hornswoggled. I was sharing about the guy, the man who is now a minister, but his grandmother would bring him home and she would sit him at the table and set the timer. Remember the old-fashioned kitchen timer that goes tick, 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 ding? And she would set it for 15 minutes and make him pray in tongues. Well, when he got to where he could do it for 15, she'd switch it to 30. And when he got to where he could do it for 30, she'd switch it to 45. And what she was doing was she was exercising him. She was causing him to exercise. That's just like, think about if you ever saw a high school track team, you know, the coach makes them run and run. And at first, you know, at first they can't run 26 miles, you know, if they haven't been doing it. They have to start small and go more and go more. And he's a little tough on them, but he makes them grow a little every day, every day, every day. My brother was on the track team. And, you know, eventually he could run miles and miles and miles and miles. But you don't start that way. And don't condemn yourself for where you're at. You know, God never does. You know, I've screwed up so many times I can't even, it's past counting. But one thing that I love about God is I can go back to him and say, okay, can you remind me again? Can you help me again? I have to have, you know, or maybe I'll get really good in this one area. And then that causes like an effect. Maybe I don't do the other one. So I try to, let's go back over here and do this. And then this one falls off. So I'm trying to find balance because in balance, there's great authority. When you find balance in your life, you can walk in great authority. Hallelujah. Okay. Oh, I wanted to share one more thing. You know, Paul said, just as an aside, he said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. And Edgar used to say, and that's why Paul accomplished more than you all, because he was continually praying in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is speaking the will of God into the earth through you. And so if you're one of those people that got your prayer language at the altar and you haven't used it since, use it. It's a powerful tool. It's like an Uzi. It's a powerful weapon against the enemy. It aligns things. What I have seen, if there's a lot of praying going on, things go smoothly. Life goes smoothly. Ministry goes smoothly. I can tell when prayer falls off, things start to get a little rougher. And if I weren't to pray, I can tell you things will start to get really rough. And now there's waves hitting. And now you got to deal with it defensively. You're on the defense instead of on the offense. And so it's better to just maintain a strong prayer life. It's just better. Life is easier. And then you can have joy no matter what's going on because you're not moved by it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.